Okay. We were holding in Chelek Aleph, Perek Dalet, Sif Vav, which is sort of a summary in terms of the fact that a person should have his head screwed on straight and should have a sense of where he is going. So I know that this may sound a bit paradoxical, because I'm speaking about knowing where one should be going and going straight, and I want to take a diversion. So if you will allow me to take a diversion, because I think it's inyana diyoma in a certain sense, and also will sort of help us to understand what's written here. Hine shorish kol inyan ha'avodahu. If a person thinks, what am I doing in this world? The answer is quite clear. Heyot ha'adam ponet tamid l'boro. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be like a magnetic field, and we should be a compass. We should always be facing towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should think, what would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to do? Situation X, Y, and Z. And we're going to see that we have realms where it's quite clear. You have a mitzvah, you have an avera, and then we have realms of reshut. We have realms of where there's a certain degree of wiggle room, and we have to try and figure out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. So in this respect, I'd like to share with you a short episode that was related to me by a member of my shul in Israel, in Har Nof. He, as many of the people in the shul are, is an Oleh Chadash. And he saw a notice in one of the papers that a friend of his that he hadn't seen for at least 20 years, a friend of his in high school, had lost his wife to cancer. And this friend was living in some yeshuv south of Be'er Sheva, and my shul was in Yerushalayim. And this congregant of mine, he's a very, very special person, very, very fine. He said, you know, with how many people probably would know this individual? He's an Oleh Chadash, he's in the small yeshuv. I'll take off a morning from work and I'll drive down there and I'll be menachem him. And so that's what he did. He drove down 2 hours south, and the whole time he's driving, he's thinking, trying to recall all sorts of episodes that were, you know, with this high school friend that, you know, it somehow he felt would comfort him. It reminded him of these, of how they were together and how they were friends, etc. He goes into the house, and the fellow was sitting there all alone. He was recently married, no children, sitting there all alone. The fellow lifted his head. He's not sure, even if he made eye contact, he's not even sure if the fellow knew who he was. Then the fellow put down his head and just sat there. And the halacha is a nichum avelim, that one waits for the avel to begin the conversation, when one wants it to be at the comfort level of the avel. And this fellow just sat there staring at the floor for a half hour until finally, you know, my congregant just didn't know what to do, and he just got up and said Hamakom Yenachem Otcha, and he left. And the whole way back, he was thinking, what did he think to himself? Why did you think that this person would even remember him? And you know, it's, and just felt so frustrated and so like what a waste of a morning. And you know, it's probably didn't even recognize who I was, etc. The story was told to me after Sukkot. This incident happened before Sukkot. Why was it told to me? Because this congregant of mine got a phone call from this person and said, I want you to know that if I can continue going on with my life now, it's only because of you. That I was devastated by the loss of my wife. We were very, very close. We had our whole future together. And I just felt that I didn't even want to sit shiva. It's sitting shiva, I don't want it was something very personal between me and her. I didn't want to bring anyone else into the picture. I was not interested in sharing any details of my relationship with my wife with anyone. And I figured I would just sort of sit there. And then I saw you come in, and I remembered who you were, but I just didn't know what to say. But you should just know, the fact that you walked in the door, it just meant so much to me. It gave me a sense that someone cares about me, and that there is a future, and that there's what for me to do in the future, because people, you know, are good. Basically, people are good. Maybe I had a tragedy, but there's a lot of good in the world. And I just called you up to thank you so much for that nichum avelim. You have no idea what it meant to me. I'm mentioning this for two reasons. Firstly, because I think that sometimes we have preconceptions of what Avodas Hashem is. We have preconceptions of what does it mean to be Menachem Avel. And we sort of tend to follow through with our preconceptions. And we don't realize that Nichum Avelim is a mitzvah. Kosh Baruch Hu gave us that mitzvah because he wants us to be like him. To be like him, in other words, doesn't necessarily mean, and we don't know we can't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to be like him means that we're supposed to connect with him by doing mitzvahs. What does it mean? Sometimes only a phone call a week later will let us know what it means. Sometimes only when we get to Shamayim after 120 years will we understand what this mitzvah was. And I think that this week there was an event here in the yeshiva that was just so misunderstood by students. I'm not blaming anyone. You know, just it's a question, I guess, of life experience. People, you know, they advertise that Gilad Shalit is coming. People say, wow, you know, it's Gilad Shalit is coming, and I want to come. I want to show him solidarity. Maybe he's gonna speak about his experience about Klal Yisrael, about Emuno. Who knows exactly what he's doing? He's coming to yeshiva. There must be a reason that he's coming. And the auditorium was packed, and the Beis Medrash was packed. And then all of a sudden people say, hey, what's going on over here? There's no one on stage. Stage is empty. Take up all the bottles of water. The unit that came were sitting with their backs to the audience. The questions that were asked were not the most brilliant of all questions. The answers that were given were not something that were to be unexpected. Like, what am I doing here? I have a lot to do in life. I'm in college. I'm learning. I took off time from. I wasn't sure should I take time from evenings. So I took off time. I'm sitting here. I have no idea what I'm doing here, and a lot of people just went away with that census. This was just one big mistake. I just wasted an hour and a quarter of my life. This is exactly the same story as this fellow going to Be'er Sheva. In other words, if one would simply be able to open one's eyes up a little bit and realize that these people were introduced by a psychologist, by a social worker, by a doctor, who says that these individuals have a tremendous post-traumatic stress, and they need to be healed. A refuas hanefesh. It's like visiting someone who went through a nervous breakdown. It's like visiting someone who went through a loss, who was in nicham avelim. There's also a concept of refuas hanefesh. For them to come into an auditorium filled with 1,000 students who will applaud them, this was their refuas hanefesh. This was their closure. This was what they needed to give meaning to what's been going on in their lives. The fact that they weren't able to express themselves either at all, or they weren't able to express themselves eloquently, is simply because they're ill. In other words, that they went through losing two friends. They went through one of them being taken captivity, and no one knows if he really is alive and not alive, and put under inhuman conditions of not being able to speak to anyone for years upon years. You know, the chizuk that was given to them by the fact that we were there, and we said we had thought we were going to be mitzchazek. Someone's going to say something that's going to give us chizuk and emunah. Pum fakir, it was just the opposite. Our presence there gave them such chizuk you cannot describe. Even Gilad Shalit, who hardly talks, opened his mouth afterwards and said, "You don't know what it meant to me," because when he's sitting there in this darkness for 5 years, he's trying to think, "What am I doing here? Why am I alive? What does this mean to anyone?" And afterwards, he feels not just a part of the Israeli community, but he feels part of the Jewish people, that he was a representative of the Jewish people, that his strength in holding out gave strength to all of us. That's something that gives a person closure, it gives him meaning in his life, it enables him to go one step into the future. So I wanted to connect this also with Parshas HaShavua, if you have one more minute. I still have 2 minutes. Okay, so two more minutes. That if you think about it, think to yourselves of Noach and his wife and his children and their wives. There are 8 human beings, right? 8 human beings spend 100 years preparing this teva to 120 years to float on top of the mabul. All the animals come, they brought in all the food, etc., etc. What do you think their preconception was as to what the life is going to be in that teva? I could say that if I was Noah, I would say, well, I did mine, I built the teva, I prepared the food, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send malachim from the heavens, and these malachim are going to feed all these animals for as long as we're going to be in the teva. But that's not the way it was. It was 24/7 that we had 8 people working around the clock, feeding hundreds and thousands of animals, without any sense of how long this is going to last, without knowing what's going to be, hearing the destruction outside and hearing the rain, etc., and unable to sleep. There are animals there that are daytime animals, there are nighttime animals, there are crawling animals, there are gooky animals, and they have to constantly be feeding them, etc. Why did Kosh Baruch Hu do that? It's like, you know, like if Kosh Baruch Hu is angry at the world, why torture these eight people to spend an entire year being in charge of a zoo? But the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the world, Kates kol basar balafanai, ki malah haaretz chamas b'nehem. People were taking. Everyone was into what's in it for me. Everyone was grabbing from everyone else. In order to serve as the antidote to that, there had to be a kingdom of chesed. There had to be a little teva in which only thing that one people would do would be to give. Noach didn't take anything. He just spent his life, his entire year, he, his wife, his kids, their wives, giving. That's what kept the teva alive. According to the Mechten Eliyahu, that was the Tzohar, Tasele Teva. That was the light that lit the teva. There was a light of Ruchnius. There had to be a new world order. That new world order couldn't be built on any taking. It had to be built on just giving and giving. Is this what Noach thought the giving would be like? Certainly not. But that's what instilled in them a sense of the future. So who I did? When sometimes you go to an event and, you know, you realize I'm giving in a way I never thought that I would be giving. I can give to someone simply by sitting there. I can give to somebody simply by my presence. In Achiname, I'm not gaining, but I am gaining. I'm gaining from being godlike. Kadosh Baruch Hu also spends a lot of time just sitting with us. He spends a lot of time just holding our hands. He spends a lot of time just comforting us and pointing out that you're part of something larger. That's also considered to be very meaningful. It's hard for us sometimes to put ourselves in God's eyes, to try and see things from God's perspective. But that's really, hinei shorish kol inyan ha'avodu, if you realize that that's the whole concept of being in this world. Heyot adam pone tamid l'boro, that we should try and emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hu she'eda v'yavin shu lo nivra ela l'yot nistabik l'boro. It's the only purpose we have in life. We're not in this world to watch the World Series. We're not in this world although we can, you know, you can watch the World Series if you want, but that's not the purpose of being in the world. We're not in the world to sit with our feet up and relax and read a good novel. We're in this world to become part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lohusam b'zeh ha'olam el liyot kovesh et yitzro. Kovesh et yitzro, sometimes I can have a yitzer also to learn. I want to sit and learn. What am I doing listening to this person? But if that's his refuas ha'nefesh, if I can create a refuas ha'nefesh for that person by sitting and listening to him, that's more important than my learning. What would God do? God would listen to this person if that was his refuas ha'nefesh. U'meshabed et atzmo l'boro b'koach ha'secha. Again, not to do what my preconception is of being an Oved Hashem, but rather to just sort of stream with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me opportunities for Avodas Hashem. Hefech ta'ava tachomer unetiyato. Not to see if the Chomer says what's in it for me. And a person should try and see what's in it for God. V'yemani kol pulotav l'asagat ha'tachlit hazeh v'lo yite mimenu. Okay, so that's what I wanted to point out. Sorry for the diversion. We now will continue with Zion tomorrow.
Yes.
Side. I turned it off.